Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. We've been talking about segregation in the Milwaukee area this week during our Project Milwaukee series, but writer Kwame Alexander's books for middle grade readers are one way that young people are coming together instead of moving apart.
Alexander had penned more than a dozen books for young readers before writing The Crossover, a novel in verse about two basketball-playing twin brothers. It won the Newbery Medal in 2015, and it was followed by another novel in verse, Booked, with a soccer theme. The books have drawn in boys and girls, regardless of ethnic background, and have been hailed for making poetry cool.
Alexander's latest book returns to basketball as a metaphor, but it's not a novel. It is a collection of poems and essays called The Playbook, 52 Rules to Aim, Shoot, and Score in This Game Called Life. He and musician Randy Preston spoke at a couple of Milwaukee-area middle schools last week. They stopped by the Lake Effect studio as well and offered up a few songs from the mixtape they recorded based on Alexander's books, including this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, presenting The Playbook by Kwame Alexander and Randy Preston.
Be a star.
Be a star.
In your mind.
Are you recording?
Day and night.
Day and night.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Be a star.
Be a star.
In your mind.
Fourth grade, fifth
day
grade,
night.
Sixth grade.
Let it shine.
It doesn't matter. You gotta believe in yourself, even when it seems that no one else does. Never let anyone lower your goals. Always shoot for the sun, and you will shine. You've got to know the greatness that comes before you. You've got to know the greatness that comes with you.
Be a star.
Be a star.
In your mind.
Join in, Mitch.
Day and night.
Day and night.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Be a star in your mind.
That's Randy Preston.
Day and night. Let it shine.
We are sharing some axioms and proverbs from The Playbook. 52 rules to aim, shoot, and score in the game of life. It's all about being a star, which is why we're glad to be here today in the studio of the biggest star here in Milwaukee. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr.
Mitch Tyke.
Tyke.
Mr. Mitch Tyke.
Yes, Mitch, yes, Mitch, 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 Mitch.
And the crowd goes wild.
Well, Kwame Alexander and Randy Preston, welcome to Lake Effect. It's, I mean, really a thrill to have you here.
It's great to be back, Mitch. Well, it's great to be in the studio with you.
Pleasure.
All right, so let me ask you, how do you see Playbook connecting to its spiritual cousins, the Booked and before that, The Crossover?
Spiritual cousins, it sounds so divine.
Mm. But it's good, though. I like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, The Crossover featured these two boys, Josh and JB, who were stars on and off the court, who had a really cool, funny, you know, dad who shared these basketball rules for life with them. And the rules really resonated with young people as I traveled around the country, and I thought, well, I should really write more rules, you know? Mm-hmm. And so decided to write, you know, 42 more rules and ended up creating 52 rules to help you aim, shoot, and score in the game of life. And sort of the where it came from was, as a child, I remember hearing sort of sayings and weird, I guess, proverbs from my grandparents and my father. My grandmother used to say things like, dishwater gives back no images.
What in the world?
Exactly. I would be like, what are you talking about? Yeah. My father would say, you can't know what you don't know.
And that's really true, I think.
It is, but as an eight-year-old, you're like, what in the world are you talking about?
What does it mean?
And so I wanted to write a book about some of that stuff that I still remember, but do it in a way that would be cool for, like, kids. Like your daughter, Mitch.
Well, I think my daughter already thinks you're cool. But, you know, I was reading this book and thinking about how she might take to the advice in it. And, you know, I was wondering, do you think not just her, but, you know, many of your young readers will get that, you know, even though the inside papers of this book are textured like a basketball, that a lot of these lessons are about more than just fast breaks, that this is about life?
Nah, who cares?
Right, right.
I mean, why, we don't concern ourselves with that. Here's why. And I'm being flippant when I say who cares.
Right.
I shouldn't be. Because I do care. That's why I'm here.
Exactly.
But here's what I mean.
And God bless you for it.
Basketball is the hook. Mm-hmm. Sports is the metaphor. When they read The Crossover, yeah, we want them to quick shoulder shake, a slick eye fake. Number 28 is way past late. He's reading me like a book, but I turn the page and watch him look. We want them to get all that. But we also want them to get the message about how family is so important. About friendship. And I think they're gonna get that. You know, I'm not the didactic writer. I'm the clever, you know, under the cover. Call me the undercover brother. I'm delivering a message because I do write with an intentional message. And the goal is for you to get that, but for not for me to beat you over the head with it. So I'm all about using sports as a metaphor, and with the hopes, if I'm doing my job well enough, that the kids are going to take away some messages that are more about life off the court.
Do you think they'll listen to you and read you, Kwame Alexander, or listen to you, Randy Preston, in a way that they might not listen to their parents if they were saying the same thing?
I absolutely think that. I think that
that's Randy talking, y'all.
Yeah, I think that when
Randy, when you talk, you should probably like play the guitar before you start.
Oh, just as a little key.
Yeah,
as
just so they know Randy's intro. About to talk.
As I was saying, I honestly think that when kids are presented with an experience, I think what happens when we show up, it's author visit. Yeah, they've heard an author before. But now we have an experience that we're offering. So there's more than simply, my name is blah, 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 blah. And I think that it opens them up to more information that we're giving, more messages, more thematic stuff that we're talking about. And they're more aware of it and they're more open to it. And so I think that, you know, one of the cool things about this tour specifically is that we're really pushing a message to the kids of being okay with who you are. You know, you're a nice guy. You're an okay person. You can be whatever you want to be. And when kids are exposed to that and they see it as a reality and they see us being fun with it and having, you know, we're jumping around the stage, they're coming up, they're trying out new things, they're doing things they've never done. We have kids getting up and reading and rapping in front of whole crowds of their peers, and they do it well. So I think that is something that gives me a little confidence, and I really like the approach that we're taking with it.
And then the other piece of it is, Mitch, is that a kid will respond a little bit more favorably to you know, authors who are coming to their school than their parents.
Right.
And so maybe we can reach them in some ways that the parents can't.
Right.
Well, and maybe the light goes off and they realize that their parents aren't entirely full of it.
Exactly.
Right. That's the
exactly.
hope.
Exactly.
Right? Well, and not to attach too much significance to the middle grade age, but maybe to attach some significance to it. Do you feel like, is that an age where you really, I don't want to say it's the last great opportunity to do that, but it's a pretty pivotal time. By the time they're in high school, there's a lot of stuff that's starting to, if it's, you know, concrete, it's starting to set.
I think there's still room in high school, but I think, to your point, yes, middle school is sort of like the last chance to mold and shape in a really profound way that's significantly easier than when you get to 10th and 11th grade.
Yeah.
The middle school kids are about to cross over, you know, into, see what I did there?
I saw what you did there.
Yeah. It's a product placement there,
exactly.
I think.
Very nice.
They're about to cross over and hopefully get booked. No. No, they're about to cross over into young adulthood,
right.
You know.
The surf's up, if you will.
Yes,
and that's why we have to offer them some rules for life, you know, the playbook.
Hey, work it out. Working out. I think that at the middle school age, especially, I got to do the intro. The middle school kids. No, at that age, they're suggestible. They're still trusting of adults, even people who are strangers to a degree. They trust them. So there's an opportunity there to talk to a kid about something that may be meaningful to them that they've never thought about. But because you're an adult and you have that, you know, you're taller and bigger and low voice as a man, you know. They're going to listen in a way that they may not listen to someone who's saying the same thing every day to them.
Right.
You know, I think about, you know, I've seen videos of kids interacting with you guys at schools, and I was there at Boswell the last time you were in town, and I mean, there's a certain excitement that they get from being in your presence, if you will. I was wondering, what is it like on the other side? I mean, is there a rush in some ways connecting with kids and you see those moments happen, you know, not that this is a selfish exercise for you, but it's gotta be an amazing feeling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we feed off of that energy.
Yeah.
We just, you know, while in Milwaukee, we had two presentations, one for about 800 kids and one for about 700 kids, in really large theaters. And the energy was just bananas.
It was amazing.
And when we see a group of students respond to poetry, respond to literature, respond to the books in that way where they're clapping and chanting and the call and response is through the roof. It feeds us because ultimately we're really trying to, and it may seem a bit, you know, lofty, but our goal is to change lives.
Absolutely.
We're trying to allow children to have the space to become better human beings, you know, because the thing is when adults do things that have a negative impact on our world, you know, for example, when we look at some of the shootings of young black men that have taken place in our country, and we wonder about what transpired, what was going through that officer's mind in that moment. You know, I posit that adults, the mind of an adult begins in the imagination of a child. Mm. And so to the degree that we can create these well-rounded, connected, empathetic human beings as children, when they get older, we won't have to wonder what's in their mind because we will have helped create a mind that is all about making the world a better place by any means necessary. And so when I see children responding to the messages, you know, to the ideas and the ideals, that's it. That's why we do this. And so you got something like that. And then you have something like we are introducing books, training teachers, building a library in a village in Ghana.
I was going to ask about that. So you have this Leap for Ghana program impacting lives on a whole different scale.
On a whole different scale. I mean, you're talking about changing the outlook, the makeup, the opportunities, the resources for our entire village of 200 children and their families.
Right.
And there was one book in their classroom. There was 11 classrooms, one book. What we're talking about is that books allow you to open up a world of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
They allow you to see outside of your own condition and begin to see things that are possible. And so whether it's a boy in Milwaukee who's going to now read a book or whether it's an entire village who has access to books that they see themselves in and see what's possible, we're all about creating language and literature and opportunities for young people to be changed.
And at the same time, I mean, I think it's interesting because I think it was in your Newbery acceptance speech where, you know, you made reference to the fact that adults are really hung up on what ethnicity the kids in your books are, and the kids that read them, they aren't. And it feels like there's empathy is linked to kids' ability to see themselves in these characters regardless of what their physical description is.
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's another thing my grandmother used to say. It's tough for adults to sort of, you know, to see past that. Like, the kids get it. Like, yeah. The kids, they see themselves, they see their friends, and I think it's only when we begin to introduce, you know, well, I think this book will be for my black kids.
Right.
And this
right.
book should probably be for my white kids, and this book should be for my, you know, Latino kids, or
this is for girls,
or this is for boys. And so the adults begin to segregate the literature. And then we wonder why kids grow into adults who aren't empathetic, who aren't connected outside of their own house, neighborhood, community.
If you can't see the humanity in another person, then you have no reason to. You have there's nothing that's going to prompt you as an adult
right.
to seek that out.
Right.
And so if you've never learned that or you've never experienced that in your childhood, there's very, very few opportunities for that to happen as an adult.
Talk about how the mixtape came about.
That's a great question, especially since it started here in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
last year in April, we were on tour for the novel Booked, and we were in the Hotel Pfister last year. We were in the lounge on the 23rd floor, eating dinner, hanging out, and we began to talk about some of the components of our presentations, and we thought maybe we should do a song
yeah.
about one of the books that I had written called Acoustic Rooster. and his barnyard band about a rooster that started a jazz band with Duck Ellington and Miles Davis. And so
it's a shame Elephants Gerald couldn't be there.
Exactly. There you go. And so we sat there and we wrote this song.
Acoustic Roosters, Barnyard Band, up next in Farmer's Talent Show. Bee started humming, duck dove right in, rooster and pork chop set the flow, and the band they played,
and the band they played,
and the barnyard dance,
join in,
and the barnyard dance. And the singer sang, and the singer sang, everybody jam,
everybody jam. And so we just sat there and we wrote this song, and then we said, well, let's do a song for Surf's Up, and then let's do a song for Booked. And then, of course, with the playbook, we thought, well, that's, you know, a perfect opportunity for us to share this passionate, you know, sort of call and response piece that deals with the power of saying yes to life and understanding your own confidence, you know? And there was a kid in Singapore, and I had him write a rule. And he wrote this rule that has become the one that we do in schools. Dribble, fake, shoot, miss. Dribble, fake, shoot, miss. Dribble, fake, shoot, miss. Dribble, fake, shoot, swish. And so, you know, we figured let's give it some rhythm and rhyme. So the mixtape came out of that, and we ended up doing a CD for little kids featuring songs based on my picture books, and then one for the bigger kids featuring my novels and the playbook.
Yeah. Music creates a level of engagement that not many other things can. For kids, especially kids of this generation who are in middle school, grade school, everything they do has a soundtrack. Everything they look at has a soundtrack. If they're watching it on a screen, there's music playing. And so when we get into human interaction, a lot of times that's lost because in a classroom, the teachers are teaching the math and it's wah, 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 wah. So combining music to what we're talking about allows, again, another a level of engagement that may not have been previously.
It's our way to combat screen time, Mitch.
There you go. There you go.
Well, so it's funny. You call it a mixtape. It's on a CD, actually. And, you know, I get to thinking you're probably not all that different in age than I am. And, you know, you're playing these songs and you bring a mixtape to people for whom the concept of tape really doesn't mean anything. I mean, the idea of a mixtape has long outlived the concept of a cassette.
Which is great. You know, we all made them. I made them for my girlfriends in high school.
I made them too, yeah, man.
You know, it's a big thing. And
from the radio. You just play the radio and erase the, or stop where the commercials came on and keep going, man.
It's a wonderful thing. Remember John Cusack in Say Anything?
Yeah.
What was Your Eyes?
What was the other one?
Was that the song?
Peter Gabriel, yeah.
Peter Gabriel.
Well, and it strikes me that both that and playbook are ways, you know, even after they've finished reading Booked or The Crossover or after they've left an event with the two of you, these are ways that your influence kind of lives on in their lives.
Well, we feel like the books are sort of the foundation. Mm-hmm. The words are the foundation. But this tree has many branches, Mitch.
Well, like
there's a live performance. We love performing as much as I love the writing. There's music. Randy loves performing and writing songs as much as I love writing books. I think, you know, it's a multimedia experience. Mitch, we're trying to bring the words off the page. We're trying to put them on the stage, Mitch. That's our goal. I like saying Mitch's name.
Evidently.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I mean, we're trying to make this an experience where young people are A, entertained.
Right.
B, inspired.
Right.
And C, empowered.
Oh, I like that.
Entertained,
write that down.
Inspired, and empowered to now go out, read another book, and hopefully do something that's going to change the way they view the world,
right,
or perhaps even, if we're lucky, the world.
How affirming is that?
Like, that's life-changing and life-saving.
Absolutely.
Writer Kwame Alexander and musician Randy Preston. Alexander's latest book for middle grade readers is The Playbook, 52 Rules to Aim, Shoot, and Score in This Game Called Life. He's also the author of Booked and the Newbery Medal-winning The Crossover.
Well, I feel like, would you leave us with one more song from the mixtape?
Sure. What do you want to do?
What are we going to do? I guess we'll do the Mac.
Okay, I like that one. You gonna set that up?
Yeah, so we want to thank Mitch for having us today. We want to thank everybody for listening to this amazing show. Lake Effect is in the house.
Lake Effect, baby.
Randy Preston is on the guitar. You can Kwame on my cell phone. Here we go. This is a poem from Booked, B-O-O-K-E-D. It's about a 12-year-old boy who hates reading and he loves soccer. And he hates reading until he meets a really cool librarian who gives him a playbook for life. The Mac drinks tea in a dragonfly mug. On the library floor is a dragonfly rug. The door is covered in dragonfly pics, cause Skip to the Mac is dragonfly sick. Sometimes I wear a dragonfly hat. Got dragonfly this and dragonfly
that.
Dragonfly this and dragonfly
that.
Dragonfly this and dragonfly that around my room are dragonfly clocks, but please don't touch my dragonfly box, cause if you do, I might get cross. Respect Mitch, y'all, the dragonfly boss. That's right.
That's right.